I'd like to call attention to the Tuesday, January 10th, a Reynoldsburg organizational meeting. We'll start with that and before we move into the regular board meeting. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Tremero?
Here.
Mr. Truax?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mr. Baker?
Here. Now I'd like you to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Kaylin and Andrew Barford, with a brief introduction by Mr. Brooks.
Thank you for allowing me to introduce these two students. This is from our student council advisors, Mrs. Shortridge and Mrs. Shad, and they say Kaylin and Andrew are both on the student council at Reynolds Middle School. Kaylin is a sixth grader and Andrew is a fifth grader. They both exemplify what strong leaders look like on our campus. They are kind, helpful, respectful to others, organized, and always willing to share their ideas to make our school a better place. They are leaders in their classrooms. They're following directions, participating in class discussions, and coming to class prepared and ready to learn.
And we will take your lead. You start us off.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All right, item 2.01, election of board president. Do I have any nominations?
I want to nominate Joseph Begnick for president.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Truax. Any discussion? Are there any other nominees? Seeing none, do we vote on that at that point? Okay. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mrs. Tremero?
No.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Baker?
Aye. Thank you. Motion passed. I appreciate the support of the board members in this term of office. Item 3.01, election of board vice president. Do I have a nomination? I nominate Rob Truax.
Second.
Any other candidates? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Begetting?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tremero?
No.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Motion passed. Item 4.01, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the organizational part of our agenda? All right. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truax.
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tremero?
Aye.
Mr. Baker?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 5.01, date and times of the regular Board of Education meeting. We have the times listed, the dates listed below. There are a couple of unique dates. February 14th, because nothing says romance like a board meeting. We also have March 14th, which is earlier due to the following week. I believe Reynoldsburg is on spring break, so therefore we would do it during the actual week of school. And I don't believe there were any other unique dates out of all of those. Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Tenero. Any other discussion? All right. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
Mr.
Truax?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Baker?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 6.01, Robert's Rules of Order, to adopt the Robert's Rules of Order for our meetings. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Truax. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tremero?
Aye.
Mr. Baker?
Aye. Item 7.01, establishment of committees. The committees are listed as, for those of you that may or may not be able to see them, finance and audit, policy committee, buildings and grounds, school business advisory, calendar committee, outcomes coordination, interscholastic, athletic board of control, personnel committee, safety committee, and a board appointment to outside committees, which would be the city liaison. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion?
I had one question. It seems like some of the names have changed. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? So is the outcome, for example, the Outcomes Coordination Committee, is that what was formerly known as Curriculum and Outcomes?
Yes, it's the same. It's the same.
Okay, and School Business Advisory Committee, I don't recognize that name.
That one was a little bit different. I don't know if that's something that we, is it something specific?
No, we've always had that on there. I think the Superintendent's Advisory Committee kind of morphed into that. We've never had a separate standing School Business Advisory Committee.
All right.
So you can delete that one if you want to, or leave it.
Can we just alter it just to consume? Well, yeah, we can just alter it just for Superintendent's Advisory.
I don't think that's a good idea because then it has to be open to the public and the Superintendent Advisory is not.
Yeah, typically the superintendent has held the advisory committee meetings at invitation only.
Okay. Was this on the agenda last year and I just forgot about it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So leave as is and just continue on as we've.
And you can leave it and then we don't have to fill out all
these
that we
want. Okay. All right. Any other discussion?
We're reappointing now.
If everyone on the board can email me there are any requests, if they would like to maintain the current committees that they're on this year, or if they would like to expand or change, we can do that as well for the coming up. We can have that ordered and set before our next board meeting on Valentine's Day.
Okay, I had one more question.
Yes.
So the Personnel and Safety Committees were added last year at mm-hmm. the organizational meeting, and I'm wondering now, you know, having, you know, we've been through a few safety crises and things, and I wonder how necessary or effective the safety committee can be in light of, you know, Mr. Kiesel and knowing, you know, what things, you know, some things can't be discussed in open meeting mm-hmm. about compromising safety. So any thoughts about that from anyone?
I agree with you on that, and the personnel were the two that were added that I don't feel that are appropriate or necessary.
Well, I think that Mr. Whitman brings up a good point when it comes to the safety committee. There are certain things that we can discuss when it comes to safety, and then there's other things that Mr. Kiesel, you know, we don't want to be necessarily telling you, plans and procedures in case of an evacuation and things for the safety of the students. However, I do feel that the safety committee is a good thing because we all know that there are issues. You know, just at the last board meeting, we did talk about the guns in school and things of that, and we've also started to partner with the Reynoldsburg Police Department with, you know, ideas about handling drugs and gangs in our district and in our city in general, and this might just be something that we would have as a forum so we can continue those discussions. As far as the personnel committee, I know it was called at least one time this past year. I don't know if there is a relevance for it, but then again, if it's on there after this year and we choose to not continue it on from there, I think that would be fine, but I would hate to take it off and try and reestablish it at a later date.
I'd like to keep them on for one more year. I agree with the safety committee. There were some mm-hmm. sensitive issues that are difficult to discuss. But I think there are some partnerships that are beginning to grow and expand. I know the city has been doing a number of forums and out in the city, and I would love for us to partner with that a little bit more. I know I approached the superintendent about doing something like that, and so that was something that was sort of left in the future, and this would be a great place to discuss something like that.
Okay. Any other discussion? Do I have a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First and a second. All right, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs.
No.
Mrs.
Aye.
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 8.01, appointment member to the Eastland Fairfield Career and Technical Schools. Do I have a nomination?
I would like to nominate Debbie Dunlap.
I would like to second. This would be to work with the Eastland Career and Technical School Board and continuing on from that. Mr. Whitman, do you have a question?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? Mrs. Dunlap, would you accept this position if we vote for you?
Yes, I was planning on going tomorrow to be sworn in. Since we discussed this.
Good time.
December.
Good time. Yeah. If there's no other discussion, all right, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed. Item 9.01, established a board service fund. This allows for funds not to exceed $20,000 for the entire board, which is a lot more than what would ever be used for any professional development for board members, as well as, is it just board members in this case?
Yes.
Okay. I don't believe we used, did we use any of this last year? Yeah, it's...
For a few OSBA functions.
Yeah, this would be for board members that if they wanted to get information on negotiation issues when it comes to the OSBA presentations, or how to be a better board member, or any number of other different options that board members have the opportunity to take part in as we kind of move forward. Mr. Whitman?
So when, for example, we get these email blasts from OSBA or saying, you know, hey, you know, we're running this various this session here and the cost is, you know, $100 per board member or something, if we decided that that was a worthwhile thing to go to this.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And, yeah, I think I did the math saying, well, on a typical year, it'd be about, I don't know, $12,000 or $13,000 just for regular and a few special board meetings.
This is for our development.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, maybe, if that.
I mean, 20 sounds really high.
It's the law,
it's the maximum that by law.
We haven't used that much.
And it reverts to the general fund if it's not used, correct?
Okay, thank you.
And does anybody feel that, I mean, if it's there is a potential for it to be wasted if there, I mean, oftentimes when there, you know, perhaps if it were more reasonable number, I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah, I don't remember.
Can we reduce the sum?
Sure.
Just for right here, just because obviously I don't expect, I don't want to go to that many meetings. So if you said that we, on average, maybe it was 1,000 last year, would 5,000 just to be... I mean, I think it would be more than enough as well. I just don't want to have
can
to
I
come
just,
back.
Oh, but please. How much is... Because I know that we just returned to our membership with OSBA, and the only thing, we've gone to a few things that hasn't cost very much. Some professional development, and then a couple of conferences for networking and development. But they do have a yearly, I guess it's a conference of school boards that's downtown. It's from all over the state. It's a week long, and I know that is something that is a little bit more expensive. I know Mr. Brooks, I think 2 years ago, we did have some students presented there as well, but for a board member, that is something that's a little bit more costly. No one went this year.
Is that
but
something
I just
that we could...
would hate to go down to 5,000. What if we reduced it to 10, knowing
right.
we would never
would this
use
be,
even that much, but that still gives us a high enough ceiling.
Would this be something that we can just come back to if the board is interested at that point in time to do something specific just for something like that,
yes.
as opposed to this, which is more of the general, I don't want to say day-to-day, but the more common presentations for the board? Because, yeah, I agree. $20,000 just seems like it's just, we even talked about that before, it just seems like it's an awful lot of money out there, even though it does go back to the general fund. Would we want to lower it from 5,000? Is what would be, do we want to make it equal to?
I move.
Five was what I had.
Yeah, I think five
is that a motion?
Ms. Tenera has a motion to reduce it to 5,000.
Do we need a motion
or do
for
you
that?
Need a motion? Well,
we need a motion,
yeah, because we'd have to change. A motion to approve to 5. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr.
Go ahead.
Drex, he beat you to it. Any other discussion?
Okay. Yeah, I agree that 20,000 is a lot for this. However, as for reducing all the way down to 5,000, because we spent even less than that, I don't know. Personally, I would see that. The emails come through and talking about this or that professional development session and say, oh, well, you know, maybe I ought to go. Maybe this is something I ought to know about. Well, I don't know. And to tell you the truth, I just kind of forgot about this. I thought anything I requested would have to be a specific request to say, let's do it. So now that knowing that, you know, there is a fund for that, I'm not saying I want to go crazy and just, you know, go to every single thing that comes along. But I think I would be a little less hesitant to take advantage of some of the opportunities that we get as members of OSBA.
If we've exceeded that $5,000 and we still want to do some kind of PD, would we just make a request for a PO for that, or?
What you do is you just come back and then this amount.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that next year you want to get
conference, we can just come back and modify it.
But we can't do that on the fly, necessarily. If we come into June of this year and say, oh, we're at $49.95 and there's something coming up in September, can we change that at that time?
Mm-hmm. The USDA Capital Conference is
right.
In November.
So it's something that we have plenty of time. I mean, when anybody from our district wants to spend money and things of that nature, there's a process that we can go through, and it's a good way to vet what it is we're spending our money on to make sure that it is indeed something that is worthwhile, as opposed to just, you know, an open-ended fund on that.
Sure. Right.
Any other discussion?
Okay, I will move to amend Board Member Tornero's motion to approve this to the amount of $8,000.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? Again, anything that goes through this, we can continue to monitor and make sure that we're being judicious and we're not wasting any money on anything that it would be considered frivolous, because that's not what we're here to do. So, we have a motion and we have a second. Madam Treasurer? Okay, so we will be now voting for the amendment. We can vote up or down, and then this amendment will be for the $5,000, and then the amendment will be upping it to $8,000, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so Madam Treasurer, go ahead and call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed. Now we're going to establish the Board Service Fund. Do I have a motion?
You already have a motion.
Okay, just making sure.
Neil.
All right, Madam Treasurer, call the roll.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Item 10.01, authorize the Treasurer to conduct regular financial matters. Do I have a motion?
Some.
Moved by Ms. Tornero. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed. Item 11.01, authorize the Executive Director of Operations Services Business Manager to enter into and execute contracts. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer,
can
please.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, absolutely.
We raised it to 25 during construction. Am I right? I feel like about when I was first on the board, I thought we raised it to 25 during that period of time. Is that is 25 a normal, a usual business manager amount? That's a good.
Any other questions, comments? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, go ahead and call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed. Item 12.01, authorize the superintendent to hire staff and accept resignations on behalf of the board. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Tornero. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed. Item 13.01, appointment to Title IX and 504. This will be to monitor Reynoldsburg City School District that for educational activities, employment, where services be offered without regard to race, color, national origin, sex, religion, handicap, or age, and everything else in between. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none. Oh, Mr. Okay.
Whitman. So I was, looking this up, and I was wondering if anyone knows what typical practice is in other school boards, whether it's sort of it looks like sort of just an extra duty added to the HR and Executive Director of Operations. Is this, from what I read, it sounds like this is serious business. You don't fool around with it.
No.
So is it something, you know, I know we voted on this last year, and I voted yay at that time, but now that I know a bit more, any concerns about the scope of the duties here?
Yeah, it's just, it's usually when people are talking about 504, it seems to have like an educational connotation to it, and that's why it goes through that. But when it comes to anything with Title IX to do with equality and other issues with it, that's why you have members like from Human Resources and other parts that cover the grand scope of everything going on within the district.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Bacon?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 14.01, authorize the superintendent / superintendent designee to approve grants. Do I have a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Ms. Tornero, second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? It's always good to get money from all the different types of grants that are out there. Seeing no discussion, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs.
Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs.
Dunlap?
Aye.
Aye. Item 15.01, approve law firms to provide legal services, including Bricker and Eckler, Oneida, Laboon, Rankin and Boggs, and Pepple and Wagner. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Tornero. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion?
Yes. There was discussion about another law firm at the December meeting that Bricker and Eckler had recommended. Were you able to do any informational checking on that? Okay.
They had the same conflict of interest as Bricker, so they recommended we go outside of Columbus and give me that name. I sent the bio to you. I don't know anything about the firm. I've never worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they could possibly use some of the overflow work.
Should we add them to this list? That was the Walter Haverfield.
I don't think we should, without a proposal, without an interview, you know, I don't know why we just pick somebody out of the sky and
fair enough.
Start to work with them.
We look at this at some later point in time. How do we go about getting a proposal, a formal proposal? They sent a bio down. You might want to have them down to meet with you. The work they would do, unless you wanted to use them for more work, would be limited to what Bricker can't do because of a conflict of interest. So it might be like a dozen student cases a year. But you could certainly invite them down and have a conversation with them. That would be what I would recommend if we're actually going to do now.
Sure.
Sounds good.
And we're not limited by who we do approve today to adding them at some later date? Okay.
All right. Did I have a motion?
No.
And there we go. Mr. Whitman, do you have any comments? You look ready. All right, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Aye.
Mrs.
Dunlap? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 16.01, approval of membership in the Ohio School Board Association, which is an advocate for public education in school districts like our own. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Truax. Any discussion?
I just like, before I vote no, I just would like to explain my vote as every year. I just, oftentimes when they have a call out to let us know about legislation and such, I oftentimes fall on the opposite side of where they are, so I can't approve, just to explain that.
Okay.
Well, and I just like to add that I attended a couple of conferences this year and made some connections. I also was able to have some training that was sponsored by the Ohio School Boards Association that was very beneficial to me, and I appreciate the fact that I can pick up the phone at the time. Then I may have a particular question and tap into them for that. It's a very large organization, and I think it's money well spent.
Yeah, I would add to that even if we don't fully, you know, pick up the phone and talk to, you know, this person or that person about whatever, I'd like to think that there is that option there instead of wishing we had it when, you know, some issue comes up.
What is the membership fee now?
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Item 17.01, adjournment of meeting part one. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. The first part of our organizational meeting is, well, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Meeting adjourned. I'd like to call to order the January 10th regular board meeting. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Here.
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 Here. We are going to split item 2.01 and 2.02 into separate motions. Do I have a motion for item 2.01, approval of the December 9th special meeting minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex. Do I have a second?
Second
by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Aye.
Aye. Item approved. Item 2.02, approval of the December 20th regular board meeting. Do I have a motion?
Moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman, second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Item 3.01, approval of the January 10th Board of Education meeting agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda that I've not been made aware of? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex.
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Item 4.01, our continuous improvement plan from the Wagner Road campus.
President Begney, members of the board, Treasurer Miller, and gathered community. I'm honored to represent Wagner Campus tonight as principal and to share with you some of the awesome things our Rockstar staff and students have been up to. And with that, I'd like to thank and honor our staff members who are here tonight. So Wagner Campus staff, will you please stand up? So this is a continuous improvement plan, so we'll start with our data. Our report card data is not where our community expects it to be, but I do not believe that this data represents the totality of the student experience at Wagner last year. And so because of that, and also because teaching and learning is such a personal experience, we really needed to approach this year with a solid understanding that there was going to be no blame for the data. There's going to be no shame in the work that we did, and also we're not going to make any excuses moving forward, and that's exactly what happened. Our report card data overall is not where we would expect it to be. We are not used to this data. I will point out what highlights that our overall value added at work is the year's growth. As well, at Worms, our gifted value added is value A. Junior high, we're at a year's growth with student disabilities. Science, we met the indicator of learning. This is the second year of that test, so that gives us some indication that once we're into these new tests, once we know how they're operating, we're going to be great. Our Gateway 5th and 6th grade met all of their indicators, and then our Integrated Math 1 met its indicator. So we have work to do, and we've dug right into that work. We have started with implementing strategies around iReady reading and math, which just gives us a more comprehensive look at where our students are performing on their standards and allows us to react more quickly than we would have in the past. We've also begun using standards mastery assessments, which is a way to allow the assessment to come into the classroom as it matches the instruction instead of waiting for some arbitrary date to assess what students know. Teachers are able to assess it as they instruct it to get that real-time data back to them to make decisions. We've also been revising our science and social studies common assessments to ensure that they are more rigorous and aligned to what the students will see. And then we also have done some lesson design badging this year. And so we started off at the beginning of the year, all teachers submitted lesson plans at the beginning of the week. And as we started to see evidence of these eight things in those lesson plans, teachers were badged out. Because once you demonstrate a mastery, you shouldn't have to continue to turn in the same piece of paper over and over. And so we're really looking for voice, student voice in the classroom, student choice, time for reflection, opportunities for innovation. We're looking for students being critical thinkers, are they problem solvers, are they able to self-assess themselves, and are we connecting the learning? At our campus, both of our schools have been in the past awarded the Vitel High Progress and Growth Awards, and the junior high has been in the top 20 of the top 20 middle schools in Central Ohio and Columbus Monthly. So we know what it's like and how to be at the top, and I am sure and confident that we're going to get back there. There's three areas that we've been looking at in staff groups. One is, how do we best use our instructional time? What type of schedules are conducive to student learning? So we have a master schedule committee working, looking at other schools, seeing how they best use their time. We also are looking at, how is data used to track student success? How are we defining that mastery, and how do we promote student ownership? And then also, how do we build capacity within our rockstar teachers? How can we give them more freedom for risk-taking and cultivate the expertise that we have among our students? Staff at the campus. We also have started three large initiatives. One would be our Culture and Climate Committee, and this is campus-wide. And we have teacher leads, one from Worms and one from the junior high. Shelley Bloom and Angela Johnson are the teacher leads for our Culture and Climate Committee. And one of the very first things this committee did is they developed this campus culture document. So that way, we know 5th through 8th grade on both sites exactly how we're going to handle consequences, infractions of the code of conduct, expectations for the hallway, detention, all of those things that we want 5th through 8th to be aligned so students know exactly what to expect. We've also done PBIS, tiered incentives, and PBIS is a program to teach students our behavior, model it, and then incentivize it, but then also support students who are not quite there. We've done off-campus incentives to laser craze and skating. And then we've also, this has been a big hit, I think more than we thought, the campus cash for upholding expectations. So students get a campus cash from any teacher in the building, any classified staff in the building, any bus driver. We have our bus drivers included as well. And they get that campus cash. They're able to then put it in the daily incentive box or the weekly incentive box. And each day we draw out names. They come down and get their prize. It could range from sometimes it's a Skyline coupon to pencils to all kinds of stuff to a weekly prize, which may be a get into the front of the line free pass for lunch or pick out the daily music for the announcements, things like that. And then also staff recognition and activities, because staff need to have fun too. And there's two of our staff members enjoying a staff activity. And other picture that I can not just show. But that's a good one. Our student support, this has been especially timely this year. We have noticed a huge increase in the number of students who need support to remove the academic and social-emotional barriers to learning. And so what we've done is the student support group, Ebony Roselle and Kayla Shortridge are our teacher leads for that group. We've had staff training in the area of grief, trauma, relationship building, and restorative justice. Those have been led by staff members on campus, or we've also brought in outside agencies to give that training to us. We also have student groups. We have Lead the Way, which is a group that comes in Monday through Thursday from 4 to 6. To work with some of our at-risk students. Our social workers on campus run a grief group as well as a social skills group, and they're starting more groups as we identify the need. And we also have community directions for youth that come in and run a leadership course with some of our students. This group also sponsored the ROCKS event, which was an event for mothers and daughters of Wagner to come in and learn some basic defense skills, and they had a good time there. And then just yesterday, we had Rachel's Challenge on campus, which is a program designed around the life of Rachel Scott Joy, who was the first student unfortunately killed in the Columbine incident. And after that incident, after her death, her parents found all of her diaries, and it talks about how the impact that she wanted to make with her life, and learned about five challenges that were incorporated into the campus. And then our last big strategy is we've really redesigned our RTI program. It's called the WISE Team. It's Wagner Intervention and Success for Everyone. And Katie Snyder is our RTI coordinator. And so what this entails is that each week we do a Tuesday MASH. So this group gets together. It's the first time this year that both schools on campus have been Title I designated. So we're leveraging those funds to create this intervention group of teachers. And so we look at the data each week. We identify students who may need some extra help. You can see the number of students that we're helping out right now in Tier 2. And this is mostly done through small group intervention with those teachers. And then we also push in strategies to general education classrooms for those students as well. And then we're developing our Tier 3. And what we're doing here is we're looking at students who are not progressing well in that Tier 2. And we want to be able to make sure we give them more focused intervention. So this is going to look more like a more focused intervention group, but with a smaller number of students, and really digging down into the standard that they're not mastering. And that's the number of students that we're seeing in Tier 3 right now. We begin our winter diagnostic tomorrow and Thursday. So the team will get back together, and we will personalize and design a plan for those students who are not growing the way we'd like to see them grow. This is a quote I always come back to as we look at how we work with students, is that no significant learning occurs without a significant relationship. We have great relationship builders on campus, and I'm confident that we're going to get that data back to where it needs to be. With that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
You know, you've had grappling with the questions, and that's the one that, how do we promote student ownership of their learning? You said the question, but I mean,
that's one we definitely grapple with. You may have ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, completely.
I mean, that is like the million dollar question. That,
right.
Yeah. That.
I feel like giving them the chance to retake mastery assessments and working with them and providing like that small group instruction within our classrooms, and then knowing how much of a relationship we have with them, and just like knowing that we care about how they do, has helped them to take ownership as well.
Thanks.
Constantly depending on the kid, depending on the circumstances they come to us with, if math is important to them. So we're really working trying to know the kid and know what is a motivator for them.
I was interested in the campus culture document. I was wondering how does it sort of replace the portions of the school handbook that deal with behavior, and what kind of changes have you seen since you've done this?
Yeah, it doesn't replace it. What it does is it defines 5 through 8 on both sites, how do we respond to it? Because what I noticed last year in taking on this role was that in sixth grade especially, there was a set of expectations that differed with seventh grade. And so when they, even though they just crossed the parking lot a little bit, they were walking into a totally different environment. So it was bringing together the best of what happens fifth and sixth, the best of what happens seventh and eighth, and putting together a plan that then all teachers are on board with and enforcing. So that way there isn't any question, like we do dress code like this every morning. If the student does this, our response is this. So that way we're consistent across the board. And that's been revised because some things aren't working. And so the group came back together and said, let's try this plan out instead. So that document's constantly changing as we kind of work around what's working and what's not. All right, thanks.
Mr. Brooks, I just have a couple of questions. So talking about the positive behavior program. So you have the incentives outside of the school.
Right.
What were your numbers as far as like how many kids stayed back because That is obviously all on behavior, not academia. So how did that work this year?
We had much more students than we thought we would, which caused a little bit of stress toward the end of planning it, because based on previous experience, we kind of budgeted bus numbers and things like that on a certain number, and then we had many more. So I think we had 260 of those students.
10?
Yes.
Out of
420.
Okay.
And those are the ones that attended. There was also a session at the school for those who, for whatever reason, decided not to attend the off-campus.
Right.
They were able to participate in the center at school.
Okay. And so you think those numbers are higher than they?
They seem to be higher this year. I don't have concrete numbers. I can get that for you. But mm-hmm. they seem to be higher.
Mm-hmm. And then just, and this may be for Kayla Shortridge, just the Rocks event. I know you guys had that, and I know at Summit Elementary and over at Summit High School, they have some Rocks groups that have started, you know, building leaders and giving girls confidence and I guess some real-world experience about how to tackle some of the things in the world. I don't know if that was a next step, you know, to kind of, I don't know if we have this at the middle school level at all, even though we have it at the elementary and the high school.
That's something we're definitely going to look into. We had huge success with our Rocks event. We limited to 40 people, moms and daughters, to the event. And we actually had so much interest that we're going to try to offer a session in the spring because we actually have a waiting list. So if we have a lot of interest in that, that might be something that we need to move forward towards, like, maybe next year or two.
Okay.
And actually, we were just discussing this with Amber Knight, our new social worker at the junior high. She's attending their training this summer.
Okay.
To hopefully link into that.
Yeah.
Great. We have a program at the school that I teach at. When it's done, it is a phenomenal program. It does a lot of really good. You can see people change from the beginning of the year to the end. Now, I have the advantage of seeing them change from freshman to senior. But even just within a short period of time, it's an amazing program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next we have item 4.02, our open enrollment presentation. We'll get our presentation today, and then open enrollment will be under review for discussion, and then will be determined as usual, as per board policy, at our February meeting. Dr. Cosgrove.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Good evening, President Begney and members of the board, and Madam Treasurer. I'm here tonight to just give you some data and statistics about open enrollment. Handed you a packet. This is, I feel, one of those presentations where, because it is so data based, that if you have questions, I will write them down and we'll probably have to say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. But I tried to follow the format that we've used in the past, but also give you a couple more pieces of comparative data that I thought might be helpful. So the first slide that we have gives you for the 16-17 school year, we have 127 new open enrollment students to our district, with 491 students returning from the 15-16 school year, 60 students who have change of address status, and what that means is that they began as a resident student, they moved out of district, filed for open enrollment, and there was no break in enrollment. So the following year, they will be reestablished as an open enrollment student. And so right now, our total is 678. On your handout, you will see, I gave you 3 years of data so that you could see trends, but just so that the audience can hear too, in 15-16, we had 154 students that are new to open enrollment. 441 that returned, and the same number with the change of address for 16. So this slide might look a little different than what you're used to, because I found it helpful to have a side-by-side comparison from last year and then this year. I'm not going to read you all of these numbers. You can study it later, but just to highlight a couple of things, Slate Ridge specifically, you'll notice that last school year they did not have any open enrollment students. Excuse me, but this year they have 10. And then their total number has gone from 27 to 42, which had the greatest impact on the classroom count totals on the right. And so you can see this is open enrollment for K-4. And then here is 5-8. I don't know why the zeros and the dashes are there, but they both mean zero. When we kept trying to type in a zero in the little chart, it kept going back to a dash. So I just let it be, but just know that those mean the same thing. Because obviously we don't have 7th and 8th graders at work. So on this page, you can just kind of see out to the right again the comparisons. 5th grade went from 28 students to 41 students. And then the total, though, ended up being pretty similar. We had 166 students last year. We have 165 students this year in the whole grades. And then finally, we have grades 9 through 12. The biggest changes were in 10th grade and 12th grade. So in 10th grade, we went from 61 students to 40. And then our seniors went from 36 the opposite way to 62. And then you'll see the totals again at the bottom.
Now you are.
Okay. Do you want questions now or at the end?
How about at the end?
Okay.
So I can write down if I need to. Okay. So then we have attendance K-4, and if you look up in the parentheses, you'll see that this is the average actual number. It's not a percentage of unexcused absences so far this year from August through November 30th. We did the cutoff of data. We, a lot of times when we're looking at attendance and party data, just for reference, we don't take it through December because it skews our data sometimes, because there are a lot of families that go on an extended, or they start their break earlier, and so we like to take it through November and we start tracking again. We obviously have attendance data for December, but sometimes it makes the numbers look a little funny. But at any rate, we have kindergarten, resident students, and enrollment students are exactly the same. The biggest discrepancy is in first grade. The average is 1.4 for absent unexcused absences for resident students, and an average of 2.0 two absences for the rest is pretty similar. Fourth grade has a little bit of a discrepancy. Attendance grades 5 through 8, the biggest discrepancy is in 8th grade, where we actually have our resident students who have on average a little bit more absences than our enrollment students. And again, this is from August through November 30th. And then our attendance grades 9 through 12. And again, this is actual numbers, not percents, and there isn't a whole lot of difference between these numbers, between resident students and open students. Then we get into tardies, grades K through 4, same way from August through November 30th. I would like to point out that this data is a little more significant in all grades. So what you'll notice is that our resident students on average have less numbers of tardies than our open enrollment students. You will see the same in grades 5 through 8, and it seems as the grades go up, they become less. And then in grades 9 through 12. And I find this data point interesting just because high school students a lot of times drive themselves to school. I was kind of giving a shout out to my high school kids when I was running this data, like, look, you're actually showing up when you told your parents you were driving here, versus when your parents drive you. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I was like, yay, high school kids. So they're showing up. So that's good. I'm glad that they want to come to school. And then next we have discipline data, and again, this will look a little different than what you've had in the past, because I did try to do a side-by-side comparison just for my own reference here, but this is out-of-school suspension, the actual number of occurrences, again, not percents, for this school year from August through November 30th. Don't be too alarmed by the percents on the right, because you really should look at the total number of kids in the first place that had occurrences. So for example, in kindergarten, 100% of the students occurrences involved open enrollment students, but that was one kid who happened to be open enrollment. And so that's kind of, you kind of need to look at the data. But what I would point out on this is when we get to upper middle grades, so third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade, that's where we're seeing more discipline incidents in general. And you can see how that plays out in the percents on the right-hand comparison. And so this is one to maybe study a little closer because there are a lot of information. We also have discipline in grades 9 through 12 that is set up the same way. And we also did totals across the district here. So you have total occurrences for each grade level. And then you have your occurrences involving resident kids, occurrences involving open enrollment students, and then our percentages as a comparison. And I will say that, especially for our freshmen and sophomores, there is a huge discrepancy between last year and this year for our total percentages.
Is that from when you're, so you're just using again an apples-to-apples comparison of the freshmen from this year through November, from last year through, okay, I'm just making sure that it wasn't a whole year long.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll have academic data. And so what you'll want to pay attention to is along the bottom. This is showing you that this is fall benchmark data. So these benchmark assessments were given at the very beginning of the school year, like the first 2 weeks of school. So what this is actually showing you is where our students are starting. On the STAR assessment in reading and in math, resident students versus open enrollment students. If you want to get a great data comparison, we have winter benchmarking coming up in the next month. Some of it's going on right now. And so we could run these same numbers for you if you'd like and show you the rate of growth for open enrollment students versus resident students if you choose. But there are slides here for each of the grades for STAR. And again, it's for the fall benchmark. So you'll see where our resident students are starting out and open enrollment. And so, third grade.
Did we have this posted to our website last year, the presentation from last year? I want to say
I believe that you did.
Yeah. So for those of you that are out there that are might not be able to see all the tiny details of numbers, this will be something that we can get on the web so you can take a look at it as well at that time. That's why I brought that up, just to help.
But I don't want to. Ninth grade, 10th grade. And then finally we have open enrollment revenue. And I will mention that the 2017 bar is a projection only, because obviously we don't have that information yet. And so this just kind of shows over the development of open enrollment for the past few years, how much money that's bringing in, and the next slide is just a breakdown of that same data. Just depends on if you're like visual or chart. So same basic information. And again, the 2017 column is a projection. It's an estimate. So again, I can take questions. Chances are, unless it was on one of the slides, I may have to get back to you because a lot of this is data that I would have to find for you, but I'm more than happy to do that. Do any of you have questions I can bring in?
Thank you for learning all these numbers here. I was curious about the page 5, the open enrollment 9 through 12.
Okay.
And I was amazed by the almost doubling of open enrollment students just for their senior year. So did a lot of open enrollment students just come in for 1 year to then graduate, or am I interpreting
that? It could be
that,
or it could be impacted by the change of address data. So, you know, a lot of times, like if a student were to move when they're in an open enrollment district, it's not as much of a panic button for their family to move. You know, if you're not in an open enrollment district, you try to wait till your kid graduates, but, you know, and I think when you're in an open enrollment district, that isn't as much pressure. And so it could be that they just came for their senior year, or it could be the change of address.
Well, can I follow up on that? Because I had a similar question, and I know other districts have covered that are not open enrollment. And then if during the senior year someone moves out, there is always the request that goes before the board to finish out their senior year, because that's usually the desire of the student. So I was wondering if we could get any breakdown on that 60, that 60, that change of address, to see if that is...
What grade they're in?
Mm-hmm. To see if that is the case or not, if that was a significant jump as well.
Well, it probably is a change of address, you know, because I can't imagine that many seniors being all that eager to...
Well, we are pretty awesome, right. Mr. Whitman, so they might be... But I will...
I would
check.
Like to know.
Yeah, I'll run that for you by grade.
Yeah, and the second thing, and I think we'd asked, we got it last year for the first time, was ISS.
Yes.
Numbers as well,
okay.
Because I think those are quite telling as well. I know,
okay.
Certain amount are out of school and then those in school.
So what I'll do is when I give you, I can email you the ISS data, and I'll put it in the same format as the out of school suspension slides, but then I'll add it to the presentation before it's uploaded to the website.
Great.
Any other questions?
And can I ask something, and this may be just maybe showing my ignorance. Is there a point then when we, you know, obviously we don't overcrowd, but if we keep, am I reading too much in this, but if we keep increasing our numbers in open enrollment every year, does this mean our local attendance is decreasing likewise each year? Or we, you know, or do we just have that much extra room in schools when we started that we could afford to move these people?
You know, if you go back to, you know, the first slide, when you start graduating, how many people, you know, started to attend an open enrollment, you know, there was more room. You know, we had just built a brand new high school, and we had that, so you would see the increase with that. But no, there is something to be said that, you know, when do we ever get to a point where we have a capacity with open enrollment where we start to adversely affect what's going on in the classroom, whether it's class size or just honestly space? I mean, look at our high schools. We're dealing with that right now. It's not necessarily because of open enrollment, but it's just it is a part of it that we're starting to get squeezed out, specifically at the Summit campus. So that's something that we do need to look into, and that's something.
So by
state law,
we can say this is. I mean, because I know there are a lot of laws associated with open enrollment that are beyond our control. Is that something that you can say once we get to this golden number?
I think we would have to obviously follow whatever capacity structure that we have in the district. I don't know if there's something specific that says, other than the fact that you can't displace a resident student for an open enrollment student. So at one point in time, if we don't have any room, we just can't accept anybody else. Then
that's
why we have to think a little bit ahead. If this is going to be something that we continue to do and we start to continue to see these increases year by year, you know, what is that going to do to our capacity? Should we start looking at, can we cap it? Do we only cap it at certain levels, and a whole other set of other things to deal with?
And so every month we do get an enrollment summary by building, and I keep a close eye on that. And so what you'll find, especially in July and August, there are some grade levels, some buildings that we have to say we can't accept any more enrollments, but there are spaces in other buildings in the district where we can put these families. And so right now, there are buildings that still have room. It just might not be the top choice of the first building when they originally were thinking coming here. So, I mean,
so
we monitor that.
Yeah, right. And do we get tight enough, though, that when we have people moving into our district, it pushes us over, or, you know,
has not happened since I've been here, but I cannot speak for the past.
I think we would probably want to look at maybe kind of a capacity comparison, you know, where we're at and what we have left, you know, what room we have in different buildings, and then start getting some data points on that one before we decide, you know, to kind of look at where the sky is falling next.
I'm
I would think just the open enrollment policy that we already have would obviate a need to say, you know, we can only accept X many open enrollment students. It's just, you know, here's the number of students we have, and here's the capacity we have for whatever ratio we want, and then even, you know, if we have room, they come in, and if we don't, they got to reapply every year. So have I misunderstood it?
Well, I guess my concern is that we are, you know, we're very tight, and we all know the OSFC doesn't, when they came in and, you know, they did their assessments, they weren't always exact when it came to, you know, their enrollment projections, and, you know, we saw that in Whitehall when they had, they were 12 classrooms off, and so what I'm saying, maybe they were pretty close coming out to Summit, but I'm just seeing this increase every year, and we're so very close, and then, you know, let's just say the Y comes and we have a little bit of redevelopment in our city and some more young families start moving in, back in, and our resident enrollment starts going up. But if we're so tight, because that might be in August, it might be mid-year, then I just feel, are we always maxing out those classrooms and those buildings without, you know, some type of ceiling?
When... Like maybe 15 years ago, when the plans first were there for the new buildings, it was done with the assumption that we would annex land on the east side of Summit, and there'd be a development over there. And then the whole crisis hit in 2008. We didn't annex the land. Nobody wanted. I mean, it wasn't developed. And so when the buildings came along, we had lots and lots of space. So this has been a really sensible, practical way to use taxpayer dollars that built the big buildings. So we do, I mean, going forward, that could be different. But up till now, I mean, that was something that we certainly don't have any shortage of, was space. So, I mean, I can see, obviously, going forward. But, you know, just because of all the circumstances that didn't or did happen, you know, that's one of the reasons this came about. It's like, now what do? You know, well, we use it wisely, and that's so going forward it could change.
Just in general, I think it's something to keep an eye on, you know, whether it's through open enrollment or just the natural growth of Reynoldsburg, you know, like Ms. Dunlap said about the community center and things like that. It's something we need to keep an eye on for the future, because we don't want to get caught all of a sudden where it's too late to do anything, because we have to start turning people away, which, as Dr. Cosgrave mentioned, we are wonderful, so that may come up about at some point in time. So any other questions? Thank you very much. Look forward to seeing that up on the website in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 5.01, board members may speak on different topics at this time. Mr. Truex.
I don't have anything tonight other than thank you all for coming out and enjoying these closed quarters. Thanks.
Mrs. Tenero.
No, thank you.
Mr. Whitman.
Yeah, happy new year to everyone, like Dr. Cosgrave said. And I'll repeat like I usually do, and board member Dunlap does. Thank you for the invitations. We like to get out there when we can. Just yesterday I saw some of the Rachel's challenge that Mr. Brooks talked about, and tomorrow I'm going to see some Rube Goldberg machines in action at Hannah Ashton. So anyway, hope everyone had a great break and they're ready to get back to work.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Mrs. Dunlap.
Again, thank you all for coming tonight. I appreciate you coming out. Happy New Year. I wanted to say that we did have our first meeting with funding leaders last night, and I was very encouraged. It was wonderful to give that feedback and kind of laid out a timetable, and I think it would be about mid-March, and that everyone in the community will have the opportunity to share their voice with everyone. You know, everyone, and I'm looking forward to that, and I know everyone in our community is as well, as having some input into that. Again, I'd like to mention the why, just because I think this proposal is an incredible opportunity for our community, for our kids, senior citizens, every part of our community, and I think it is a springboard for some possible growth. Again, on January 18th, over at City Hall, there is another informational meeting. There on social media. There are a lot of things coming out and telling everybody about those. I encourage anyone to attend, to ask questions. Also, if you go to the city website, they have frequently asked questions and things like this. We've already started some discussions ourselves as a district with the city about how we might partner, because I think this would be a great partnership for our kids. I also was able to, again, keep those invitations coming. We keep saying that. I was out to able to go see some Rube Goldberg projects yesterday, and I said I felt very inadequate sitting there watching some eighth graders work on physics problems on the board, and but their inventions were incredible, and they were so engaged. And one of the questions that we asked at the end, or had the option of asking, was, you know, was this good for you? And they said, yeah, it's so much better than reading about these processes in a book and being able to do this hands-on. And obviously engagement is such a great way to learn. And then just finally, I think we have a number of different situations in our different schools with some illnesses, and I just wanted to say that the next several months are going to be very difficult, and please keep our staff and our students in your prayers moving forward into this new year. Thank you.
Well said. I can't follow that up with anything at all, other than to say that as far as when it comes to the finding leaders, I was happy to hear that this isn't going to be a limited focus group opportunity for the community. We went through a number of different categories of groups that we'll be able to attend, and as soon as we have that information, we'll spread that out there, and Happy New Year. Item 7.01, visitors requested to address the board. There were none ahead of time. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wheeler.
I was wondering if any fellow board members tonight, we needed to make our decision, right, about open enrollment regarding the academies, whether it involved refinement of our policy, or whether it was just, as the matter of superintendent said last month, it just needs to add a, you know, adjust the current procedure, and we were going to have Bricker and Eckler advise. So any updates on that?
Current board policy, and I know Mr. Truex has got some of the actual numbers with it as far as the, it's already stated in policy, and as far as the interpretation of things, there is no conflict or issue if we were to allow teachers to come in. I know that that was one of the questions, where teachers, students would be allowed. I believe that there were less than 12 within the district, or some number relatively close to that. As far as any making other changes, the superintendent did recommend that if we do decide to make any changes, that we would go to a policy meeting at that point in time to make any kind of other changes to allow for or restrict any other movement through open enrollment.
Okay, so I mean, as I was bringing up, you know, there are the two directly conflicting clauses in the open enrollment. Mm-hmm. One that, you know, no open enrollment student will displace a resident student. On the other hand, no resident. And I said, well, you know, only one of those two clauses can stand, and if we just address that in policy, does our administration have what they need in order to get all our incoming freshmen assigned?
Yeah. Unless the board decides to go with a variance based on what we talked about as far as, you know, changing the way open enrollment is viewed for the lottery aspect of things, that's something different than this category. For this one in particular, it would follow with the idea that student residents can't be removed. Open enrollment residents cannot come in and take the spot of a resident student. The way that the other clause comes in is, we couldn't, if you're a 10th grade open enrollment student at Summit Campus and a resident student wanted to go to Summit Campus and you've already been there and established, we cannot just kick you out at that point in time. That's where that more or less lines, where it kind of ties you into that open enrollment part at that point. If you wanted anything more specific, that's when we would have to go to policy to change things, or I guess you could expand the verbiage so there's not as much confusion. And I know once we establish the policy committee, we can go ahead and take a look at that as well.
Okay, well, I would like, I'm still not sure myself, you know, what we decided, and so I know that there must be a lot of parents out there who are still saying, well, okay,
What is your specific question? As of right now, open enrollment students are not taking the spot of a resident student within our district, moving from the 8th grade to the 9th grade.
Okay, and it will be done, there will be a lottery, no time stamps, and then
that was based on
the waiting list is
based on the recommendations that were given to us. Yes.
Okay.
And timestamps, I don't believe, Dr. Cosgrove, I don't believe timestamps were part of that process this time, were they?
So they were not.
Yeah,
they were okay with doing a lottery. The only other thing that still needed to be determined is if you're separating the resident list from the open enrollment list, you'll need to determine how the open enrollment students will fall on that list if you aren't using timestamps.
Okay, all right.
I see.
Then at that point in time, then it would probably just be the same as the resident students, where it would be a blind draw, where it would just be once the information is.
Separate lotteries or whatever you'd like.
Because the first lottery would go with our resident students, and then at that point in time, then you're looking at a lottery system for the open enrollment students to move into those other areas.
But okay. If they're first filled by resident students, then
that's it. Right.
Okay. Dr. Cosgrove, do you have what you need in order to get people students assigned properly?
I believe so. There are always things that come up that you don't think of.
Sure.
But I think that this will at least get us started and be able to communicate to the families. Our biggest concern was that we needed to know the time stamp or not, so that we knew whether to prepare for security if people were kicking.
Okay, so my two concerns, I wanted to just make sure, because I know we put it off from December, but we wanted a bit more time, so I want to make sure that you and other administrators, you have what you need, but I also want to make sure that parents aren't left in the dark trying to figure out, what is it. So I wonder if perhaps the vinyl verbiage is put on the website, maybe, or
in some
other way, just made easily.
Just
and clearly
following along with the recommendations that were given to us. And I know if you don't have the dates, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I know that there is two dates that I wanted to know about. One, it's kind of where the parents can come in and look at the different academy structures. I want to say it's 28th or 26th of January.
26th.
There you go.
It will start at 7. Prior to that, there is a 6 o'clock College Credit Plus meeting for any, it can be for anybody, but we're kind of targeting those same families in case they have questions about College Credit Plus.
And then the other date was the 8th grade selection would begin?
So the cards are due Friday, February 3rd.
Okay.
And we will be making visits to all of the buildings that have 8th graders the week of January 30th through the 3rd. And then the cards are due on the 3rd.
Do the parents have to sign off on the slips? Okay, so I'm just imagining, hey, I just saw Bell and I want to go to Bell. Here's my name, take my card, so the parents will have to go ahead. Okay, just making sure.
And just to clarify, we don't know yet, right, whether or not we will have to
even
invoke
go, no.
the
right.
lottery system.
Until we get those numbers in from
we
the
get
cards.
The numbers.
Okay. Any other questions? Moving on, item 7.01. I did not have any advanced visitors. Were there any speaker slips turned in? Then we'll go ahead and move on. Item 8.01, finance statements. Madam Treasurer?
All I have tonight are the approval of the December financial reports, but I also just want to mention that you may not have seen correctly there, but we now have our schools profile for this year done. It's out on our website, and
thank you very much for preparing those. They are
they're wonderful.
Very
thank
informative
you.
And for someone who is somewhat math illiterate, I actually understood them, so thank you. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex, second by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr.
Valero?
Aye.
Mr.
Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Baker? Aye. Motion passed. Items 9.01, 02, 03, and 04 are on for action. Do I have a motion?
So
moved by Ms. Tenero. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Tenero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Baker?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 10.01 and 10.02 are about our robotics team traveling. Do we have a representative from the robotics team here? Come on down.
How do we know?
You can just stand up then. Just if you want to just tell us where you're going, what you're doing.
So we always go to two competitions. Our first one this year will be at Wittenberg University, the beginning of March, 9, 10, and 11. And then we're going back to Cleveland. This is our sixth year at Cleveland. And that will be the last weekend in March. So usually our competitions, one of them has happened over spring break, and that's not the case this year. So students will be missing 4 days this week. Thursday and Friday before those, and then the competitions go all day on Saturday.
And all of our students will be able to make up and get their work to get that done.
In fact, the competition that's happening in Wittenberg is the last week of the semester, so we're working right now with the staff to two of the coaches are going to provide opportunities for those students to take their exams and things in the evening or after school to make sure that that's done before we leave. We have Mrs. Phillips, who keeps track of all the students' grades every week. We meet with them, so we make sure that all the students are at least a C above average or they cannot attend. We will be taking the bus to Cleveland, but we will not to Wittenberg because our hotel is within walking distance of the
While you have the floor, can you just tell us, I know that it was just revealed to you, what your challenge was?
I don't know if she'll understand it if I explain it, but in layman's terms.
Hey, no.
So it has to, so there are these softball-sized wiffle balls that it has to shoot into a furnace, a boiler.
Okay.
And there are these giant Lego gears that they have to be delivered to stations on the field. There are human players on the field for the first time ever for this competition, and we have to make some with all of this action. It sounds, and climb a rope. So it has to be a shooting robot, it has to be a climbing robot, and it has to be able to deliver a gear to a peg on a vertical surface. So it should be interesting, and the kids are already at work. So come on over, I invite you anytime Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 to 9, or all day on Saturday. You're welcome to come anytime unannounced. You don't have to let us know because we'll be there. But the kids will walk you through and show you everything that they're doing. They're always eager to talk about it.
Great. All right.
Thank you.
Bring safety goggles.
We have safety goggles for you, and we'll allow you without safety toe shoes to walk around for a little while.
As long as all the insurance forms and all the other particulars are up to date, then we're in good shape. So again, this is up for discussion now, but we'll make the motion to for action next month. Item 10.03 is the band apparently has some fun news to share. Mr. Gibson?
President Begin and members of the board, everyone else, thank you for having us out tonight. This is a new and honest.
I wanted to announce that the marching band and band program has been invited out to the 2018 Outback Bowl in Tampa, Florida. And so we are bringing two members of us to travel over the winter break next year to the to Tampa, also to Orlando, stop by a little place called Disney World, but also to Tampa in order to perform for that it's a great honor to be invited, and we're hoping that we can have the opportunity to accept.
I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
So what happens if, you know, obviously, tell me a little bit about the fundraising and you know, there must be a certain mark that the kids have to get to, and
sure.
the kids don't get to it.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I'm very fortunate to have around is our band booster program. And our parents are fantastic. They're great not just at raising the funds, but also at the amount of manpower hours that they put in to the program and in our community. And so I know that, and I have Mr. Rob Quintana, our band booster president here, and he and I have started to put together a plan for us to be able to get the maximum number of students that would be able to participate. The cost per student is going to be between $1,000 and $1,200. That is for travel between the 28th to the 2nd, January 2nd. And so what we're going to be working toward is reducing that cost for every student, and then also putting together plans through the boosters and through the travel agent BrightSpark in order to come up with a plan for each student to be able to attend.
So does it work that way, that pretty much every student who wants to attend, if they put through some effort, that they can?
That is definitely our intention, yes. So
I'm somewhat intrigued. Why now? How did you get this invitation?
What happens is that over the as you perform in public venues and you start to do your group performs well, bowls, what they do is they hire travel agents to find people that would be of the caliber to play at the halftime shows and things like that. And so obviously we've been doing well. Our marching band did receive a superior rating at State this year and have done well in the last few years. And so that's got the attention of people and it's gotten us the invitation at the halftime. So I'm very proud of our students and our parents for all of the hard work that they're putting in. Get us to that point to receive those kind of invitations. So.
Interesting. Thank you. Again, this is for the discussion, and then we'll be voting on this next month, as long as at that point in time we'll have all the particulars that we need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
I do have one other thing. I would like to invite all of you out next Saturday to the Summit campus. January 21st is our annual solo and ensemble contest for District 15. We're hosting 45 schools. We have 1,149 events. They're going on that day on 24 stages. It is a massive undertaking. Lots of volunteers throughout our community, our band program. I think it offers the best of what we have here in Lawrenceburg in hosting those schools. So please come out. And that's from 8 to 5. So you got all day to come out at any point and to see what's going on. So. Also, I got to do a little brag too. The Reynoldsburg programs, the band, choir, and worship programs. We have 108 of our own events that are performing that day, which is, as far as I know, a record number of students that are participating in solos and ensembles that day, so I'm really excited about that as well.
That's great. Thank you very much for sharing. All right, item 11.01, motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Dunlap, second by Mr. Whitman. Do I have any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming.